thank you for coming. Thank you for this opportunity. I ask that you pray for me as I stand here before you. Pray for these services here tonight. First thing I want to do is ask Brother Paul Allen if you'll lead us in prayer for this service.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the privilege we have to come and pray for you and study your word, Lord. I thank you for those extras and bring the word of God to lead and guide them and give them more to say. Also, open our hearts and open our minds and our lives. Lord, we give those prayer requests to her tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good news of her and fill us. I ask, Lord, that you do the other prayer requests of her to suffer loss of families, and the health issues that you can strengthen that list and use them for it to be able to strengthen the list of families, those lost loved ones, Lord. I ask, Lord, to be with us the balance of this week. Give us wisdom and guidance and help us to be a shining light to thee. Give me my sins, Lord, all share in the same life. Amen.
Amen. How many times you go through a week or a day or a week and you forget to pray for your church or your pastor, your people in your church? And you know, sometimes I hate to admit it, but I forget sometimes to pray for people like I should. And I always try whenever they call to just take a moment right then and ask a prayer, if it's even just a silent prayer, you know, to, while I'm working or whatever's going on. I always try to make a conscious habit to speak to the Lord right then as it comes in. But, you know, I want to encourage each one of you to take time this week and make it a point to pray for your brothers and sisters in this membership, because we all need it, every one of us, every day. There ain't none of us that are in such good shape that we don't have to have prayer. I want to look tonight in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 through 39. This is going to be our text verse. When I started writing this sermon, it was going to be about trouble. And Ginger asked me if I wanted to listen to my CD on the last sermon I did on trouble. I said, no, I don't. She always keeps CDs about my sermons, you know, but I started trying to put some thoughts together, and it went away from trouble, but it's still about something that we all have and that we all face each and every day, and that's circumstances. Everybody's circumstances are different. Mine's different than yours, but we all got circumstances in our life that are a problem to us cause us concern, things that we worry about. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, there's a whole lot said right there. A lot of people kind of overlook verse 36. He says, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." You know, I've read books and they say, you know, it's not about you. And you know, our lives are not about us. You know that your life is bigger than you are. Your life is bigger than you are. If my life just only consisted of me and the things that are within me, it wouldn't leave much of a mark. But our lives are bigger than that. And a Christian's life is truly bigger than that. After he says that we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter, he says that even in that we have victory. You know, nothing is going to overcome us. He said we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's through Christ. That's how that we're more than conquerors, is through him. I heard a preacher say one time, you know, that what can somebody do to you? They can threaten to send you to heaven early, and that's about it. You know, that's about the worst they can do for us. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:11 that he had learned that in whatsoever state he was in, therewith to be content. He was in all kinds of different circumstances throughout his ministry, but he was content. And why was he content? Because he knew who was in control. We could preach all night about Christians that are not content in the circumstances that they have in their life. Proverbs 16:33. It says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." In other words, the Lord is in control. He has control of your circumstances. You may not think that you do. You may wonder, how did I wind up here where I'm at? Well, folks, God's still in control. I told my mama one time, I said, my life's not turned out like I hardly thought it would. She said, "How do you think it turned out?" I said, I don't know what I thought. You know, I mean, I thought it would be different. But it wasn't. It's what I got. But God's still in control. In Proverbs 3, everybody knows this one. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, 7. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." And number 8 says, "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." It's going to be good for you if you listen to God, if you follow him, if you heed his commandments. He's going to show you how to do it right. We all want things. We want them right now. We want to change our circumstances. You know, a lot of times when a person is lonely, they'll want to change their circumstances, and they want to run out and they want to get married. They grab a hold of the first person who comes along, they get married. Well, it ain't long. They figured out they made a mistake. But you know, once you're joined together in matrimony, then you gotta commit more sin to get out of that. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, 7, and 8, they give us insight on how to change our circumstances. It's not by our will and our ways, not what we think we need to do. But if we'll follow God, he'll show us how to change our circumstances. He don't say, "Here, you're put in this circumstance and it ain't never going to change." But sometimes it don't change. Paul said he prayed 3 times that things would change for him, but it didn't. But God's had a reason for it. And Paul accepted that. And once you accept that, then you understand it. And after Paul accepted it and he understood it, then he was able to live with it and even do better because of it. Daniel didn't rely on his own wisdom, but he relied on God, and his circumstances changed dramatically. Joseph, he relied on God in every circumstance, and God used him to save a whole nation. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, I'm just going to read it. You don't have to turn back there if you don't want to. But he said, this is Joseph. He said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." You know, when you read the story of Joseph, you start there in about chapter 38 of Genesis, and you come on through, you see that that man went through a lot. But he never was really worried about it. He knew who had control of those circumstances. He understood that God was in control. And God brought him out to save much people alive. His life was bigger than he was. Your life is bigger than you are. Are you getting me?
Amen.
There you go. This is good stuff. We have hope that nobody else has. This is good stuff. Moses obeyed God and he saw the circumstances of his people changed. You know, we think, well, you know, I don't know Moses, I don't know Joseph, I don't know Daniel. I do know Daniel, he's my son. But he's not the one that the Bible wrote about. But in our time, the past few days, we've witnessed a man that was not a victim of his circumstances. I'm sure if you've watched the news any at all, you've seen and heard talk of a man named Nelson Mandela. And he said, "My circumstances in life cannot defeat me, nor God's plan for me." He knew that God had a plan for him. I believe that he was probably a Christian. I don't know. But the whole world witnessed and marveled at the fact that a man wrongfully entreated, such as him, could show such compassion and forgiveness for those who had treated him wrong. That's a pretty good statement. I don't know. I mean, I'm not judging a man's heart. I'm just saying. Some people want to blame others for the circumstances that they find herself in. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam blamed Eve. In chapter 4, Cain blamed Abel. Harlan Branton blames me. That's not so. I saw on TV recently a man in Kansas. There were these two lesbian ladies and they wanted to have a child. And this man in Kansas, he bothered a child for them. And one of them had a good job and the other one didn't have a real good job. And to make a long story short, the two ladies broke up and they got this child that they had legally adopted. Well, the lady that had the child, she went and filed for public assistance. And they give it to her. And then they sued the guy that had fathered the child for child support. In Kansas, they don't recognize gay marriage. And the other lady, she wasn't responsible, but the guy was. You know, the guy probably thought he was doing a good thing. I thought it was funny. I really thought it was funny because gay people can't have children. That's just the law. That's how it is. It's nature. It don't happen. And he was going to put himself in the place of God, and he was going to give them some children. They just thought he'd be nice about it. That's my opinion. I may sound hateful, but I'm not really. It just hit me in a strange sort of way. But in Galatians chapter 6, you know, we have to think, when we decide to change some circumstances in our life, we have to think about what we're doing. When we don't follow God, we get trouble. Chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 7 through 9. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh, of the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. You know that I like verse 9 there real good. He says if you do well, you're going to reap that too. You don't just reap the bad things, you reap the good too. In this country, you can be legally convicted by circumstantial evidence. You can be at the wrong place at the wrong time. You can be in the wrong crowd, and they'll have you in the wrong place at the wrong time. And as the father of a teenage son, I get to say that quite often. Stay out of the wrong place. Don't hang around with the wrong crowd. These wrong associations will lead you to trouble. Now, he's a pretty good boy, but that threat's always there. It's there for us. It's not just there for teenagers. It's there for us. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. That's a freebie there. I just come in here, so I give it to you. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they will stumble. You know, they don't even know what's going to bring them down. If we follow them, they don't know where they're going, and we don't know where we're going. In Proverbs 1, verse 10 through 16, he says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. They says, hey, this is a game. Let's all be brothers. The brotherhood of a gang. We're gonna all band together. Let us all have one purse. We're going to all have things in common. He says, my son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Y'all forgive me, I have been sick. There was a woman in London, Kentucky, just, I don't know, it ain't been long ago. I remember hearing about this trial. She was, she married a lawyer down there. I seen this story on TV again the other night. She married a lawyer down there, and it was her second or third marriage and his fourth. She was quite a bit younger than him, and he had some problems in relationships anyway. I don't know what his problem was, but he wound up, he was a big time lawyer, and she was helping him in his office, and he got shot. Either she shot him or he shot himself, one or the two. And she claimed that he'd shot himself, and the police, they couldn't find any evidence really that he had shot himself. They couldn't really find much evidence that she'd shot him. So they charged her with his murder. I personally don't hardly believe that she shot it. I just don't, but I might be wrong. But from what I've seen of the evidence, it didn't look like that she had. Of course, you know, on TV, they just tell you the evidence they want to tell you. But either way, she was in some circumstances there that circumstantial evidence. You know, sometimes you can be guilty by association. It's awful easy to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, Joseph in the Bible, he endured some persecution because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, supposedly. You know, I mean, it's just, we can't always control the circumstances that we're in, even when we're doing right. I don't know if she was doing right or not, but, I mean, it does happen. Have you ever heard a disclaimer that says, due to circumstances beyond our control? You know, you order something and it comes, UPS or FedEx or whoever, and it's tore all to pieces, and you open the box and it says, you know, or you call them up and you say, hey, what's the deal? And they say, well, due to circumstances beyond our control, your product is broken and you have to pay for it. Those things happen. I used to hear the phrase, if the good Lord's willing and the creek don't rise. That meant, if the circumstances allow, we're going to do this or do that. You know, circumstances are not an excuse. Child molesters, they almost always say, well, you know, I was abused as a child. Romans chapter 2 and verse 5 through 9. The Bible tells us that our circumstances are not an excuse, that we'll all give account for our own deeds, every person. Romans 2:5, but after thy hardness and impotent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continence and well-doing, continuance and well-doing, for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. Our circumstances are not stronger than God. Our circumstances won't overpower God's will. Our life is... Our life is bigger than just us. We need to live it like it is and not be so concerned with the circumstances that we're in all the time. You know, that's just another ploy from the devil, the circumstances that we're in, when we allow those circumstances to hold us back, keeps us from fulfilling the life that God has for us. That's just something else that we have to give up to him. We have to release it to him, let him have control of it. He already does anyway. He just wants us to rely on him with it. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" If God be for us, who can be against us? I went to Danny's auction Saturday morning for just a few minutes. I wasn't there long. I got up and had a little bit of a fever, but I wanted to go, so I went over there. And I was standing around this table. There was a guy there, young guy, you know, and I was standing there and I was looking at all this stuff, and I thought, you know, this old man, he was 80-some years old or 90 years old. Here sits all this stuff that he had accumulated in his life, sitting here on this wagon, and people standing there buying it for pennies on the dollar of what he gave for it. You know, he had him a little go there. It's all gone. His circumstances came to where everybody's circumstances are going to come to. One day we'll be at the end of our life, and that'll be the circumstances that we'll be in then. All the stuff that we have, it won't amount to nothing. If we got millions of dollars, there'll be people standing around picking at it like they was at that auction. If you have some of the very nicest, best stuff, you can take any of it with you. I appreciate y'all's attention and attendance. I'm here in some rough circumstances. Ginger locked both sets of keys in the car. We made it. We came in Mom's car. I've had a cold. My throat's sore, burning. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I've appreciated this opportunity. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you. I like to preach messages of encouragement. It's always fun. It's more fun to preach messages of encouragement than it is messages of judgment. But the judgment of God is real. And it is just. And we won't be able to blame our circumstances if we meet God in a lost state. We'll have to pay for our own deeds. And we won't be able to say, "Lord, the circumstances that you had me in caused me to be lost all my life." Folks, I don't believe that the Lord will turn anybody away that will call on His name. The Bible teaches it. If you're here and you're lost, if you will pray and ask God to lead you to salvation, I firmly and strongly believe that He will. You can come up here and talk to me, and I'll tell you all I know about it. You can talk to several people in this church, and they can tell you all they know about it, but they can't nobody do it for you. There ain't no magic words. There ain't no repeat after me. It's in your heart. If you don't know in your heart that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you start praying that prayer. You ask God to lead you to salvation. Get on your knees and ask Him. And I believe that He will. Brother Ryan?